Welcome back to HerCast. Dr. Chito here. Continue our exploration into STDs with part two of our enlightening discussion. Today, we're diving even deeper into this important topic alongside our esteemed guests, Dr. Anthonia Amujo and Dr. Kosi Irobi. Together, we're going to amplify awareness, break down barriers, and foster understanding surrounding STDs. So go grab your favorite beverage, whatever it is, settle in, and let's continue our journey of empowerment and enlightenment. Welcome to STDs on Max Breaking Stigma, Spreading Awareness, Part 2. Let's keep the conversation going. Welcome to HerCast with Dr. Chito, where we're on a personal journey of transformation, one that's all about her, the everyday girl, teen, and woman. I'm Dr. Chito, your guide and companion on this thrilling adventure. Welcome back, ladies. This is awesome. You know, the last episode, we really talked about the different types of STDs that we have. We touched on few of them because there are lots. And so that's not everyone we were able to talk about. But we gave a lot of background and information on some of the very most common, on the most common STIs that we experience. Today, we're going to look more at misconceptions and ways in which we can break the stigma, we can stop the shaming and bring with and promote prevention and treatment. And this is what we're going to focus on now. So I'll just kind of call out some that I've heard and we can just see what our views are on that. Now, the very first one that you hear about is only promiscuous individuals get STDs. What's your thoughts?
Well, obviously that's not true.
Not true.
Any individual that is sexually active is prone to getting an STD. So it doesn't matter if you're promiscuous or not. As far as you're sexually active, you have higher chances of being infected with a sexually transmitted disease.
I think it takes only one time. Simple. For anything to happen.
Yeah. Your very first time you can get an STD.
Yeah, you don't have to have 3-4 partners or 3-4 times. It just takes once and you can catch something. So I think it's a very big misconception.
So that is a misconception. Being promiscuous has nothing to do so much. Yes, they say the higher number of partners, the higher the risk, but the truth is that you can have one time and that's all it takes. The next one is STDs are always symptomatic. What do you think about?
To be very honest, there are quite a number of them that are asymptomatic. You have the chlamydia, you even have herpes.
That don't have symptoms.
Yes, they don't have symptoms. Yeah. So you can't really say, oh, I have to have a symptom. Maybe I have to have a burn or pain somewhere before I think I have an STD. I think just get it checked out. Just go for your annual checks. Because most of them don't even present with symptoms. So you can't really base your information on that.
Well, just like she said, getting tested is important. Your partner also getting tested is very important.
Know your patient's partner's sexual history.
Yes, knowing your sexual history is actually very important because some are actually not symptomatic. Just like chlamydia, it's like a silent STD and the complications are very terrible. So it's just better you get tested, know your sexual history, and you can avoid
complications. So pretty much, you know, what we're saying is that, you know, people are asymptomatic carriers. They have no symptoms but carry the infection and can pass it on. So getting tested is important. And another misconception is that you have an STDs, you can see vision, like you can actually see visuals of STDs. Like people think you will have ulcers, or you may have, like, we talked about that now, I guess the same thing. Or you have abnormal discharge. Is that correct? We can actually have an active infection and see absolutely nothing. And I think that's what we just added to add to that. Aha, another one. Only young people get STDs. I can hear the Gen Z screaming now. Only young people get STDs. What do you say about that?
Well, that's actually a funny one because I think people tend to judge the younger generation now.
Because they explore more.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, there's
more adventurous.
Young people tend to get STDs because they are more adventurous, but it's not true that they're the only ones who get STDs. Even elderly people who are still sexually active can still get STDs from their partners.
Yes. It doesn't have an age number.
It doesn't.
Is that what you agree?
Yes, it doesn't.
I think when we focus on young people sometimes is because they have a more inconsistent use of condoms sometimes, and they're not as aware of their bodies and aware of educated like this, like in terms of knowledge. I think by the time you live life long enough and get maybe one STD or this stuff, you kind of slow down. As you get older, like, oh, I gotta wear condoms, and you're more confident. Tell your partner you're gonna wear condoms, and whenever you suspect, you know, one partner or the other has stepped out, you can easily say, "We're gonna wear condoms, or we're gonna get tested." I think there's more confidence. I would say,
with your age.
But there's no age. Every age can get STDs. Yes,
that's a sure one.
And then this one, STDs are always curable. Why do I need to bother? I'll just treat every STD as curable. Is that true?
The funny thing is, they are viral STDs and they are bacterial STDs. Now, when we talk about every other STD is curable, we talk about the bacterial STDs. Those ones you can treat with antibiotics. But for the viral ones, you can manage symptoms, you can suppress, you know, episodes, but you can't really treat. It's not something you can treat. Yeah, you have to deal with it long term. Like, it's a lifelong thing. So yeah, I want us to understand they are viral STDs and their bacterial STDs. With the bacterial ones, yes, you can treat, but with the viral ones, you can just manage symptoms basically.
Yeah, I think that's very important for people to know.
I think she has said it all.
She said it all. Yeah, because you know, we always, everybody thinks that viral is actually the ones that are hard to treat.
Yes, herpes, and that's why we HPV,
even when we come to
HIV,
other ailments,
HIV,
you know, but at the end of the day, we can manage the symptoms, we can manage the length of time or duration is actually. For HIV, we can reduce the viral load with medications and things like that, but it's not always 100% cure. So, but as early diagnosis, knowing early that you have anything is better for quality of life. You live better, you live good quality of life, you live longer, even when it comes to, you know, people living with HIV, you live longer. I mean, we've come a long way. In treating some of these STDs, you can have partners that
negative.
So it's actually come a long way. So it's just being tested and being aware and coming and making sure. Oh yeah, this is the one. Condoms offer 100% protection.
Very false.
That's definitely not true. Although condoms offer protection to some extent, but there are some...
They're very important. Put the condom and at least on, and then we can think of...
But there's some...
Those little
sexually transmitted infections that condoms can't help you.
Yes.
Like HPV that can be transmitted through
skin contact and herpes.
Condoms will not help you in that aspect. We even
or help you to that extent.
Yeah, there are non-sexual habits that we have, like sharing needles, sharing blades. You can also get oral sex, anal sex. So those are ways that you can also get STDs, and there is no condom involved in that aspect, so you have to be careful.
Use your condoms, but just know that it's not 100%.
Well, but these days, concerning oral sex, there are dental dams that you can use when it comes to oral sex. It's more like condom, but
it's very important.
But then it helps to protect you when you're having oral sex.
I think that's very, very important, very important to add. And so I think that, and I don't know if you think of any other one. I think I'll think about is immorality. You know, we're living in a very judgmental society. And I think in our climb in Nigeria, because of culture and all that, there's a lot more judgment, you know. So funny enough, everybody's doing something, but everybody's silent about it. And then they catch the one person, the person now gets judged as immoral. Right. But, you know, the person can say 100 more people that are doing it as well. I just got caught. I was just, you know, open to this. And even the word caught, I don't use the word caught, but you just know what I mean in our climb. Mm-hmm. And so we're still in a society that finds this and will tell you that, you come to a place and you might feel that they're judging you. And I think that's one of the things I talk about in hospitals or in clinics. When you come, you have to be open. Anybody could get this. You know what I mean? So you have to be very non-judgmental. Like, so I think immorality, saying that because you had an STD, you're immoral, is one of the stigmas that bother me most, because it hinders prevention.
Exactly.
Because you can't get knowledge to them. And it also definitely hinders treatment efforts. They hide it and they suffer from hiding it. What do you guys think about that whole immorality thing?
Well, honestly, I don't believe immorally. There are people who are actually maybe immoral or promiscuous and they don't get STDs. So I don't believe that you have to be immoral to actually get an STD, or accuse people of being immoral, saying, oh, it's because you're immoral, that's why you actually got the STDs. Because there are some people who the only partner they've ever had is their husband, and they end up getting these STDs. So how do you explain that? Because this person wasn't...
Revolt. Yes. Because we know that it's men that steps out.
So what do you say?
Women can step out too.
But yeah, but...
Or their wives. Yes. Their husband or their wives. Yeah, it could be either. It could be either way. Yeah. So how do you explain that? You can't say it's because you're immoral that you got the STD. So I think that's a very judgmental way.
But some people in marriages hiding STDs because they don't want to either bring out their spouse.
We are so judgmental.
Very judgmental, I'm thinking.
And we shame people for things.
Yes.
Things that we shouldn't shame them for. Things that we should bring awareness to so that it can be curtailed. We shame them. We judge them. And that's why people hide these things.
Even in the
And it continues as a cycle because this person is hiding this.
Even healthcare professionals, yes.
And probably goes on to infect another person. That one hides it, also infects another person. So... I think it's very important
That we don't see it as that, so people can be open. You're right to have your own ideas and your own moral thoughts, but we have to get to a society that's non-judgmental and kill this misconception so people talk more about STDs. So let's go into how do we break the stigma. What are the things that we can do to break the stigma?
Well, I think one of the main things is sexual health education. That is very important, especially in schools, even in the healthcare sector, it's important. A patient comes to you and
communities,
yes. This is what is happening with me, this is what I have. Educating that patient properly is important. We can do campaigns just to educate people. And if you notice most times, schools are one of the places in where, especially we have the younger generation in schools, and they are the ones who are laid back. They are not even aware of what is going on. So having a community that campaigns sexual health education campaigns in schools is actually very, very important.
I think even in families, there is nothing wrong with a mother and a father sitting their kids down
and talk about these things.
We shy away from these things a lot.
Yes.
Sexual education is a problem for, I'm African, I'm Nigerian, talk about, I'm Nigerian. We shy away from these things. We don't like to talk about, my child is very, she'll never do that. But talk about these things. Protect your kids. See it as a way of protecting them.
Knowledge is power.
Yes, exactly.
Regardless of your belief, knowledge is power. And there's some things we can't control. I think dealing with a lot of teenagers for me is, my teenage patients, is that my job is to say, okay, yes, there's timing. There's an age that you're too young to be involved in this kind of things. As a mother, I feel the same way. I have a teenage son. And I will say, but I will educate you, because maybe one of the most important things, if you're one of those parents that like, I don't want my child, then educate them. When they understand what are the things that could come out of being sexual, what are the responsibilities and sometimes the consequences of being sexually active, they'll be more aware of that situation. They'll be more able to say no when they need to say no. They'll be able to protect themselves, be able to open up to you when they need to and they have questions. I think it's very important. I find that to be very, very effective. When you educate them, it's more effective than when you threaten them and say, if you dare, back when I was a child, they were like, you're just going to kill you or something.
Actually
prevents them from doing it when they understand the responsibility of doing it.
Well, as much as people might want to even educate their kids, I think the societal and cultural norms actually hinders sexual education.
Yes, a lot.
So some of the cultural norms we have, people already shame you. You probably know a relative who had HIV, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's that lady with HIV. Hey, you know what? Yeah, she got HIV. So you don't even want to tell people you have HIV, but everybody already knows you have HIV just from telling
about
and then whispering about it. You go, they even give you a name, HIV lady.
Yeah.
So when some parents actually see that, or some people see that, they just shy away from actually even educating their kids. It's just like, they just threaten you instead.
I can wish it away in my eyes.
Yes.
I close it away.
And then they threaten you instead. I never want to see you do that. I never want to see you go there. Instead of sitting them down, telling them, this is what could happen. These are ways you can avoid actually getting this infection. So we need to also address the societal and cultural norms.
Yeah. And if you can't speak about it, go to a healthcare professional. Let them sit down, talk to your kids about it, talk to your partner, whoever it is, but say something, like get them aware.
Let the conversation start. And I think that's important because nobody's going to tell you, oh, go ahead and get an infection. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that we cannot be silent on it. We cannot make it look like it's a death sentence or they did something so bad, they're immoral, or, you know, we can't make their bring down their self-esteem, their self-confidence. We cannot judge them for something that anybody could get just by being sexually active. Do you understand? We must open the conversation and take that stigma away so people get tested and get treated and we actually protect their health future. That comes, something you said brings me back to one thing that's very important, language. Hey, Nigerian, we can say things are bad. Oh, that's HIV lady. You know, and language is the stigma.
Yeah, people forget your name.
Yes.
You just suddenly turn to that HIV
lady. And language is something that we have to change. You know, oh, the one living with HIV, if you need to talk to about something, your language is so important. The judgment that we talk about and the stigma we talk about is mostly in the way we word it. Hey, that lady is not clean. Not clean means what?
I don't clean. I heard unclean one time in a hospital setting. I'm like,
yes,
unclean.
Yes. And so for such a thing, and I'm talking not only to parents and the community leaders and people, women on campaigns and all that. I'm also talking to doctors and nurses that they come to. If I come to you in the hospital, the hospital should be the most non-judgmental place for anybody. You open like, oh, yeah, you know, or we can do this. Let me educate you. That's fine. You know, you make them comfortable with you and know that they're not carrying like a red coat on their head.
Right? They open up and they tell you stuff they're going through and then you can advise them from there. But if you're too judgmental.
Yeah. Any other thing that we think we can talk about that could help us to do this?
Well, just like going back to the misconception part, people also forget that, just like we stated earlier, it's only by sexual activities that you get the sexually transmitted diseases. There are other non-sexual ways, sharing of needles, sharp objects. So people just tend to think that, oh yes, she's been doing something bad. She's been having sex. This is why she got this. But that's not true. And this just tells us that, you know, our judgmental way doesn't allow us to see things. I've had healthcare providers who actually got infected from a patient.
Ah, yes, yes. Yes.
They got HIV, they got hepatitis from a patient. They were just trying to do their job. And at the end of the day, someone is going to stigmatize them as, oh, yes, oh, that nurse, that HIV nurse, that one that has HIV. They forget language. Your name. They start, language. Yeah, the language. Yeah. They just forget your name totally and they start referring to you with that disease, which is so wrong.
Stigmatization.
Yeah, so that stigma
needs. So healthcare professionals need to be also trained to offer compassionate and non-judgmental care. Empathy is a training.
Yes.
Empathy. Some people need to be trained. Some people doesn't come naturally. And you can ruin a woman's life or even a man's life when you label them in such a manner. I think one of the things I always talk about, so I encourage partner discussions as well. Encourage people to talk to their partners, like you said, to ask questions. Encourage people to be confident in actually going for testing and going to the hospital and just offer regular testing. See, if it's regular testing, you break the stigma.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Every time you do a wellness check,
once a year,
do an STD screening test. Do it, and when people start doing that regularly, it's part of the test. If it's positive, negative, you're still, you know that it's all part of being well and being managed for it.
Just like she said, doing the wellness check is very important. We Nigerians, or is it Africans, we shy away from doing anything wellness because we believe that what I don't know won't kill me. So it's like, if I don't know, it won't kill me. So doing your wellness check is important because early diagnosis equals early treatment and early prevention. Well, prevention also. Early diagnosis equals early treatment, basically.
You have a last word before I wrap up? We're already, I guess, going over time at this point.
Know your STDs. Listen to podcasts if you have to. Read up something on Google. Just listen. Just be aware. and avoid stigmatizing the next person. If you see someone who has or is going through something, don't be the judgmental person around them. You know, try to be a listening ear, give them the advice as much as you can. Parents, please, you know, talk to your kids. There's nothing wrong with speaking to your teenagers about these things. Let them start early and let them be aware.
All right, so we're all about breaking the stigma. So I'm going to summarize this. How can we do it? Comprehensive sexual health education. Promote empathy and understanding. Normalize the conversation about STDs with families, schools, workplaces, and the media. Use inclusive and respectful language. We're going to start raising awareness through campaigns so that the conversation does not stop. Involve healthcare providers. We're going to train healthcare providers and promote training healthcare providers to be empathetic and non-judgmental. And we're going to also encourage regular testing and prevention. Even if it means home testing. You don't, sometimes you don't need to come to us, we'll come to you. If that's what it takes to break this stigma. We're going to promote partner communication. And we're definitely going to address cultural and societal norms. You are beautiful. You're amazing. And having an STD does not make you any less of who you are. So as we wrap up part two, another exciting episode, I'm sure I'm going to come back sometime in the future to talk about this more. I want to thank our incredible guests, Dr. Anthonia Amujo and Dr. Kosi Irobi, for their valuable insights. Together, we've tackled STD stigma and empowered our audience. Let's keep the conversation going and continue to advocate for sexual health awareness. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, this is Dr. Chito signing off. Stay informed, stay compassionate, and take care. Goodbye for now.
Hey, thank you for listening.
Subscribe to Hercast wherever you get your podcast. And follow us on Instagram @HercastPodcast and on TikTok @TheHercastPod.